Thursday, August 8th, began in the VIP suite of Brook Hospital in San Antonio far too early after the preparation the night before for today's test, and a restless, gruesome night. Then at 7, the nurse waked me. We went downstairs for the x-rays. Suffice it to say, they were awful. I was back in my room by 8. In a little while, Lyndon came in and sat down by my bed. He looked very sad, and his brown eyes were full of tears. I don't think he knew I knew it, and he didn't have much to say. But he made me think there might be something to the fears I have had about what caused these stomach pains. Incredibly, they returned at 9 o'clock and said they wanted me to come back and have some more tests. They had told me I was all through. These were even worse. And in the course of them, one of the doctors said, portentously and cryptically, "I sure am glad we repeated this." I did not know what he meant. It could be very good. They hadn't found what they thought they'd found, or quite bad. They took me back to my suite, limp and exhausted, about 9 o'clock, and I crept into bed. And hours passed. All this time, Lyndon was having tests. I had thought we would be leaving for the ranch. His test was supposed to take only a very short while. Finally, Dr. Lukash came in, a very kind and gentle man, and told me that a mass and obstruction they thought they had seen in the first set of x-rays had been revealed as just a valve, an oversized valve, and quite a normal thing in the second x-rays, so we could all breathe a sigh of relief about me. They hadn't found anything wrong. It was probably just a reaction to the sulfur drug, or one of those mysterious, not understood things that they always label a virus. But then, he went on, they had found in Lyndon, among the diverticulae in his colon, a small growth, quite tiny really, that they might have to remove. They would make more tests after a liquid diet early next week. And what of this growth? It might or might not be malignant. Chances, in fact, were very small that it would be. But they did not feel that they could securely advise him to just let it stay there. I homed in at once on the feeling that they would get it out and soon, and it would not be malignant. And the most that it would take from his life was about 6 weeks of relatively reduced activity. It was a bad few days until they did find it was not malignant. It would have been the same with me if I'd had it, I think. My assurance would have. The morning seemed to last forever. Finally, about 12, Lyndon came in and we left together. The doctors issued a statement about him. There were cameramen at the front door and a friendly crowd waving and squealing. We smiled and waved back and then choppered to the ranch. There, Lyndon's work waited for him. Arthur Oaken had come down in the middle of the morning from Washington. We worked. We had lunch. Mr. Oaken and Jesse Kellum and Don Thomas and A.W. And after lunch, I went to bed, glad to be there and unmolested by any tests, reading Nicholas and Alexandra. And Lyndon and Jesse and Don and A.W. went driving. The view out my window is a delight. Early this summer, the corn was young and a very fresh green, and every day it seemed taller. Then, on our last visit, we had fresh roasting ears coming into the table every day, and I could see James going out for them. Now it is the real hot middle of summer, and the corn is all in the freezer, and the stalks are getting sere and dry at the edges. And even as I lay there and watched, Dale came along in the shredder, I think it was, and mowed it down row after row. And before long, it will be time to turn it under. But by then, I will be watching the Maximilian daisies, an 8-foot stalk of gold at the left of the window, and behind them a Spanish oak that will be red in November. About 5:30, I felt lively enough to get up and go and join Lyndon and Don and Jesse and A.W. Marie Famer and Doris Kearns were along, too. We rode until dinner time. It is still the time of fireflies, hundreds of them, twinkling along close to the ground, especially thick in the grove on the way down past Oriole's to the cemetery. That's always a place of mystery to me. It was a night of a full moon. The doves are still flying in pairs, and all over our neighbor's fields, hay stands in bales, freshly cut on the ground, waiting to be picked up. The country is still wonderfully green, even in August, and the wind is a caress. In fact, just the weather is enough to make you glad to be alive. The only thing lacking is to feel really good. Lyndon does not, nor do I. In all the long talks I'd had on the telephone this afternoon, I could not give any definite answers to Bess or Liz on any dates, anything in the future. I told them that I would decide early next week. I could not tell them. We have to wait until Monday to see what these tests show. That is one of the wonderful things about being out of this job. We can both be sick on our own time. Nevertheless, this is the best time in all the years here, I suppose, to take off. All attention on first one convention and then soon the next. All eyes on politics. This is the best time for us to have a little time off. But what an unplanned way to spend it. We had dinner at 9:30. Never can we bring ourselves into the table while there is still light in the sky. It is too beautiful a show to miss. The table is always full. Don and Jesse and Marie and Doris, whom I like better all the time, and Tom, and how glad I am that he will be with Lyndon. After dinner, Lyndon went swimming with as many of the folks as he could corral, and I went to bed, annoyed at myself for not being more adventurous, and yet quite ready to go to bed.